Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Tom Moran here from Tom's Big Spider. So today's topic was kind of inspired by a discussion I had in the comments section of my YouTube channel where myself and another keeper were talking about some of the best slings to start with to grow up, because as we all know, moving from keeping juvenile or adult tarantulas for the folks to get into the hobby and immediately grab older specimens to keeping slings can be a bit intimidating for many, which is why I've done several sling husbandry guides. We've even done husbandry guides for the teeny tiny slings, because let's call it as it is. The beginner species, or so-called beginner species that we tell everybody this is what you want to start with, are one thing, but good beginner slings, it's a totally different ballgame, and that's because some slings are easier to raise up than others. So as we were talking about it, we talked about a couple species that I would never put on a beginner's list, but I would absolutely put on a list of the easiest tarantula species to grow up from slings. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, as you've probably already gleaned from the title. But as I was walking around the tarantula room today, I was kind of taking note of some of the species that I've raised over the course of the years that I find to be pretty much bulletproof in terms of husbandry care. These are the specimens that if somebody went, what is the absolute easiest sling I can start with, that I can almost be assured that I'm going to grow up to an adult, these are the ones I would go to, because, and this is, it's based on my personal experience. So the majority of the specimens here, I've raised up several. We're talking anywhere from 2 on the low end to 8. So I've got a lot of experience with them. They're also ones that over the years, and this is an important part, I think, from talking to other keepers, the ones other keepers have raised up early on and said, hey, these were easy. I had these guys that were no sweat. Before I knew it, I had a big, beautiful spider on my hand. So that's what we're kind of looking at here. Now, in terms of what the criteria are going to be for this list, here are a few of the things that I considered for a spider to make it onto this list. First off, the size of the slings. We're not going to be looking at spiders, for the most part, that have super teeny tiny slings. I think the super tiny ones, as I've already alluded to and as I've talked about in podcasts and other videos, the teeny tiny slings give just about everyone fits. They're difficult to see. They're difficult to find prey for. They're difficult to tell if they scavenge feed. They're obviously, because they're so small, well, we assume they're a little more fragile compared to larger slings. That's why a lot of us will feed our slings several times a week to try to get them out of that sling stage as quickly as possible. So we're not going to be picking species that start off super tiny. The second thing we're going to be looking at is the ease of care. We're going to be looking at ones that don't have any over-the-top moisture requirements. And the reason I say that is because I think when a lot of us start off in the hobby, and I can remember this, and I think it probably cost me a sling or two, you would read about a certain species and they'd go, this is an arid species. This is a species that does well dry. They don't like water. So you would get these guys as slings and you wouldn't realize it. Oh, wait, as slings, they do require some moisture. We can't keep them bone dry. So the ones on this list don't require anything above and beyond. They're not super moisture dependent. And these are the ones that things dry out a little bit, you're probably going to be fine for a little while. And we do have one on this that I would keep moist, but I'll get into that in a moment. It's like the first one on the list, but I had to include it. And then the other one, growth rate. We are looking for slings that are going to grow quickly. What makes a keeper more confident that's keeping their first sling? A sling that's putting on size. What tends to freak people out is when they get little slings and they molt and they don't seem to put on much size. Or if you're talking about a fauna pelma, they actually get smaller. I'm kidding on that one, but anybody that's raised a fauna pelma knows I'm kind of not. It's like unbelievable how long they'll stay tiny. So we're going to look at ones here that for the most part have a much faster growth rate. It means you're not going to have that teeny tiny sling or that small sling for very long. It's going to put on size. You're going to have a juvenile within a year at least. In some cases, you're going to have basically what looks like an adult tarantula in a year or so, which I think is important. I think that's the type of sling that gives people confidence, because the faster you can get them out of that tiny stage, that more vulnerable stage, the better. And as a result of that stipulation, you can bet your butts you're not going to find any Brachypelma, a Fauna Pelma, or Gramostola on this list, although I think the slings overall are fairly easy to care for because they're so hardy. They do take forever to grow. So although some of my favorite species are on that list, although a lot of folks will recommend these guys as good beginner slings, I'm going to leave them off this list because of that growth rate option. So that's what we're looking at here. Decent sized slings, ease of care. It means basically they tolerate a much wider band of conditions, meaning that if you put it a little moist, they're probably not going to die. If you keep it a little drier, they're not going to die. And as they get older, they get more resilient and more hardy. So you're looking at a spider that should be fairly easy to grow up from teeny tiny sling to adult. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. The ones that if we weren't looking at temperament, then that's a big one here. This is, you'll see the ones on this list aren't necessarily ones that temperament-wise you would tell somebody new to the hobby to keep. But I think in terms of just ease of care, these would be the ones I would go for. So to kick this one off, we're going to start with one that's a little... Here's the deal. When I first got this spider, I thought it was one of the advanced species. I heard they were super moisture dependent. I heard that they were obviously very defensive. They get to be rather large. They can be ornery. All these things about them. So I got my first two. And it was with a bit of trepidation because I was worried that maybe I wasn't ready for the spider yet. And they have been a dream. Not only were they super easy to grow up, but they've been very tolerant of a variety of conditions. So for the first one, we're going to be talking about Hystericrates gigas, or the Cameroon red baboon, or red, I think Cameroon red is the name of it. I absolutely love these spiders, and I forget sometimes, I sleep on them myself, and I have them, every once in a while I'll go out and I'll catch one of them out, and I'm like, my God, I love these guys, and I'm getting worried because I've had them now for, I think, I want to say 12 years, so they're getting older, and they were a fast-growing species, and usually the fast-burning candles don't last as long, but they're still going strong. These are ones I picked up when I first got them. I heard they were super moisture-dependent. Obviously, this is a species that people show photos and videos of them swimming. They will go into large bodies of water. They will hunt from large bodies of water. They will sit at the bottom of the water and won't surface for a while. Really amazing stuff. So we see that and we assume they absolutely need moisture. But having spoken to other keepers over the years, we found that they're very adaptable. And that's not to say you should keep them bone dry. That's not what I'm saying here. But I'm talking about if you pick these guys up as slings, they're easy as heck to keep. You put them in deep moist substrate, which is pretty much what you do with any sling. And you feed them and they eat like machines and they grow super fast. I think I told the story of how I originally got, I think they were like 3/4 inch slings, several, obviously 11, 12 years ago. I probably should have looked up the exact date, but I put them in 32 ounce deli cups. They basically burrowed down. It was one of those deals where I put too much dirt in, so they brought so much dirt up, it was almost right up to the surface. And I would drop prey in, the prey would disappear. Every once in a while, they'd close up their burrow. I'd go, all right, they're in pre-molt. It would open up again fairly soon. They'd be eating again. That went on for about a year. And then at one point, I go in and I'm trying to shine a flashlight into the container. And I'm holding it up and I'm shining the flashlight. I can't see the darn spider. Can't see the spider. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll take the top off and see what's going on. So I take the top off. And as I'm taking the top off, and right away, I'm going to call myself out for extreme carelessness. This could have gone very badly. But I took the top off and I reached over for my flashlight. When I look back, I realized the spider had been sitting right on the surface, right on the top. And there wasn't a lot of space between maybe 3/4 of an inch between the top of the substrate and the top of the enclosure. And within a year, it spanned the entire top of that enclosure. So we're talking at least 4 inches, maybe longer. And I was shocked. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, these little teeny slings, I wasn't even sure how big they were, look like little full-grown adults. So obviously, it was time to rehouse after that. The rehousings went very easy. I put them in deep substrate in Sterilite containers. I'm looking to put them in something new because it just, the containers work perfectly. They've been great in it, but it just doesn't look great, and I really want to see the spider more. But anyway, they were super easy to raise. It was like planting a seed, watering it, and except you're throwing in crickets every once in a while, or roaches, and they grew so quickly that it wasn't an issue at all raising them up. As a matter of fact, I felt like I didn't raise them because it was like I put slings in a pot. A year later, I took out almost, you know, full grown or young adults. So right now they're probably, I haven't gotten a molt for them in years. They put all of their molts inside. They web them up inside their burrows, which is a shame because I love them how big it is, because I caught one out the other day and it looked like it was probably pushing about 6 inches or so. So that's a big old baboon spider. So one thing I have realized after talking to a lot of different folks over the course of the years, and I've always kept mine, what I will usually do as far as the juveniles and adults is I would moisten down part of the substrate, keep a nice big water bowl in there, and I'd let things dry out in between. And they've always been perfectly fine. Again, they've been living for quite some time. So I think the extreme moisture dependency that was spoken about, you know, 10, 11, 12 years ago, I'm not sure that's the case. They seem to be very, very adaptable, which is what we're looking for when we're raising up an easy sling. So these guys have it all. Do they need a little moisture as slings? Yes, but I think most do. Would I keep it going a little bit longer? Because I said there'd probably be no, you know, big moisture requirements on this. I'd keep it going a little bit. But if you had a keeper that kind of things got away from him and didn't keep up with the moisture, I think they'd probably be just fine, continue to grow, continue to thrive. And then obviously growth rate, if you can go from 3/4 of an inch to over 4 inches in a year, that's excellent growth rate. And as far as teeny tiny slings, they're not particularly tiny. And even if you get smaller ones, they grow very, very quickly. And for folks who are into the whole communal thing, I hate bringing these up because I've been trying to steer away from the communal thing, but this is a species folks have had success keeping communally. I've heard that the trick is you get slings out of the same sack. You put them in an area where they can't create their own territories. I had a buddy of mine that picked up two. He was going to keep them together. He put them in a big container. One picked one corner, one picked the other corner, and soon there was only one. So not something I would try with these guys, partially due to the fact because they get so darn big. Like, what are you going to do with this giant communal? But I know people always ask about it, and I always mention it just in case. You do your homework, you make the decision. But the H. gigas, an awesome spider. And going back to the list I did a couple weeks ago about my favorite 15 favorite tarantulas, this one should have been on the list. The problem is I love both my girls. I can't really tell them apart. One's got a slightly bigger enclosure. It's about it. But they're just such awesome spiders and easily something that when these guys pass or go, you know, they pass on, I will definitely be picking up slings and raising them up again and recording the whole thing. Because unfortunately, when I got my first H. gigas, it was before I was doing the Tom's Big Spiders thing. I don't have a lot of footage of them as slings. I would love to be able to do a nice sling care guide. Here there is babies. Here there is juveniles. Here they are in their adult enclosures. But H. gigas, very, very easy to raise up. They're fairly easy to get a hold of. They're not particularly expensive. And I've heard from other folks that have kept other Hystericrates species, the Crassipes and the species Goliath, I think it is, that they've had little trouble with them. But I'm just speaking about gigas. We've raised up two, very hardy. This was early on when I was just, you know, I hadn't kept slings for all that long, and they've done great for me. Now, the next one has the distinction of being one of the few species on this list that does make it to a lot of beginner species lists. I'm raising up my third. I raised up two females. They were some of the first slings I ever got, and they were super simple. I think the only problem that folks sometimes have with, now, obviously, and I want to make this clear, I meant to make this clear in the beginning, I'm not telling people, and this is important, that if you raised any of the species I'm about to talk about and you lost them as a sling, that it's your fault, you necessarily did something wrong. I always ask folks that if you lose something, you go through, you double check your research, you make sure there wasn't something you could have done differently. But in some cases, you just have slings that fail to thrive, and that's an actual fact. I mean, in nature, they have so many babies because a lot of those babies aren't meant to make it all that long, so it can happen. So I want to make that very clear because I know for this species here, I have some folks that will come in and say, oh, mine died. But I think there's just so many of them out there. It's such a popular species that you're going to have more people losing them because there's a lot more people keeping them. But this particular species, as long as you ignore the care out there, that still pops up occasionally that they need to be kept moist, you'll do just fine with them. I'm talking about Chromatopelma cyaneopubescens, or the green bottle blue, or as we amicably refer to it as, the GBB. I love this spider. This is one of the ones that when you're first researching spiders and you pull up a picture of it, a lot of folks will assume it's some type of Photoshop image because it's just got so many cool colors, the blue legs, the jade green metallic carapace, the orangey red butt, just so many cool things going. And the fact that it's one of the few species that has that blue that makes it to beginner species list. And I will admit that earlier on when I did my first beginner species list, I think I had these guys more under intermediate because of the fact that for many folks, this is the first spider that shows them a little attitude and a little speed. And I've always said that folks that come to me and go, oh, I got a GBB, my God, that thing's fast, then I try to politely warn them that you're going to want to hold off on getting into old worlds for a little while because many old worlds will run laps around them. But it is one that tends to freak some people out when they get it and they're like, oh my gosh, this is a lot faster than I thought. Or you get some of the older specimens, like my two girls both went through a bratty stage where they would kick hairs constantly. But the good thing about them is they're pretty rock solid bulletproof, and I'm going to probably say bulletproof quite a bit during this one, so I'm going to apologize, but they're easy as heck to care for. They're one of the few slings that doesn't have moisture requirements. Now, does that mean you keep everything bone dry? No. What I've always done with mine, the first two I raised up in AMAC enclosures, they were the Jamie's enclosures, and what I would do is use a water, back then I had a little water dropper that I had for art purposes that I repurposed to use for tarantulas, and I'd fill it up and squirt some water down the side and just moisten down a small corner just in case they needed it. Also, I would go in usually twice a week and dribble water on their webbing. This is a heavily webbing species. They will web a lot as slings. Usually, every once in a while, somebody has the oddball, but most of them will web a lot. And it's very easily, what I usually advise folks to do is at night, before bed, before lights out, go out and either gently mist. I know there's a lot of people out there that say don't mist. There's places for it, as long as you're not like blasting air in there. You can do it. I usually mist over the enclosure. Almost like when you see folks where they mist their cologne and they walk through it, I kind of do something like that where I mist over it. It kind of falls down naturally. And you can either mist or dribble water on the webbing and leave it overnight. They'll come out and drink. Last night, I had mine just molted and I went in and I dribbled water on the webbing. I came back up to check on it later. We were up really late because of the UFC. And I shined the flashlight in. There it was. Drinking from the webbing. And that's really all it takes. They eat great. They grow relatively quickly overall. I'm not the fastest growing, but a medium growth rate, I would say. It took mine probably, the first two, it took probably a year and a half to get around 2.5 inches or so around there. So decent growth rate. So they're not going to spend, they're one of those ones that will molt. I remember the first ones I had molted almost like clockwork. They would eat for like a month. Then they would basically go into pre-molt for 2 months. And then they would come out of pre-molt, they molt, come out of pre-molt, start eating again. And they did that with a lot of regularity until they started putting on decent size and it slowed down a little bit. So easy to keep. Anything that you don't have to worry about much moisture with is obviously a good one to start with. Decent growth rate, very hardy spiders. Slings aren't particularly tiny, which is awesome. So sea kynopubescens definitely deserve to be on a list like this because, again, this is one of the ones where folks are looking into their getting their first slings. They have some experience. This is one I often recommend because A, they're beautiful, and B, they meet that criteria of being rather easy to raise up. So the next species on this list often makes it to best starter old world lists. I know it's been on, I think, all of mine. I love this species. I've actually raised 12 of them over the years from slings to adulthood. I found they're very easy to raise up. There was another species I was considering putting on this list, but having spoken to other keepers, I've heard of them having issues with them. This particular species seems to be pretty resilient in a myriad of conditions. I'm talking about the Monocentropus balfouri or the Socotra Island blue baboon. Again, I had originally raised up three separately that I raised up from little slings several years ago, of which I had two males and then one a mature female that I still have. And then obviously I have the nine that I originally raised up in the communal setup. All of them did great. Now, this is another species, kind of like sea kynopubescens, where they don't need moist substrate as slings. I didn't raise my original three with moist substrate or just a lot of moist substrate. I didn't raise the communal with moist substrate. What I would do, much like the sea kynopubescens, I would moisten down a corner and let it dry out a little bit. I would keep a water dish in there at all times, and I would sprinkle water on the webbing. That was about it. The communal setup I had, I noticed right off the bat that the slings did not gravitate toward the moist section, although I did keep it there just in case. They would come out, they would eat prey. Every once in a while, I'd catch one of them drinking, but very easy to raise up. Growth rate on these guys, again, kind of like the aforementioned sea kynopubescens, a medium or so. Well, here's the deal. I should probably throw this caveat in there. The first three that I raised up, medium growth rate. It took me about 2 years until they started looking like little M. balfouri. They grew well, but they were a little shy as eaters and didn't grow particularly fast. The ones I kept in the communal setup grew like weeds. I think they were around the 3 to 4 inch mark after a year, which was insane because that was at least twice as fast as the growth rate of the ones I kept separately. So that's something I have to throw in there. But even the ones I grew separately were growing at a decent clip. We're putting on decent size. Now, as far as the size of the slings, they didn't start off super tiny. I believe most of the ones I had, the first three I had, the smallest was about 3/4 of an inch. So it was already fairly well started. But the communal setup I had, they were smaller. They're like 1/2 inch or so. And again, it didn't take long before they molted and they were putting on size and I wasn't really worrying about it. So the good news is about them, like the, again, sea kynopubescens, they don't require a lot of moisture as slings. I do the webbing trick. And as adults and juveniles, no moisture needed whatsoever. You don't need to moisten down any of the corners or anything. I put a water dish in there. I've occasionally caught some of them drinking, but they don't seem to do a lot of drinking. Or at least I don't catch them. They're probably out at night because they're very coy. But I think this would be good news to people because for a lot of folks, the M. balfouri is like a dream spider. They've got the blue. They've seen the interactions with the communal setups. They've seen the fact that they appear again on those starter old worlds. They're looking for an old world. They like the blue spiders. Perfect combination. And I hope that finding out that they're rather easy to care for should kind of sweeten the deal a bit. So this is a species that when people are like, do you think I'm ready for this sling as long as you got some experience? Yeah, I think for a Monocentropus belfry, you're probably ready for the slings. Very easy to care for, very hardy, not ones I hear. I think these are obviously super popular now with all the communals out there, which is getting kind of, every time I turn around, somebody's got a communal with like, oh, a communal with 7,000 M-Balfouri, and it's gotten out of control. But I digress. I think with all of that stuff out there, a lot more folks are aware of this species now and interested in it. So I think it'll soothe them to find out that they are fairly easy to grow up. Now, the next species on this list is infamous, and it's funny because when I first got in the hobby years ago, I was doing a lot of research, and I was looking at a lot of beginner species lists. I still had a fear of tarantulas. I did not want to jump in the deep end right away, although I jumped in fairly quickly. I was looking for spiders that would be easy to raise up and be easy for somebody who may have a fear of them, you know, some more laid-back ones, for lack of a better term. And I found a list that was the top beginner species. It was one of the, when you search top beginner tarantulas or best beginner tarantulas on Google, it was literally one of the first ones that came up. And it had this species on it for like it's number three. And I remember looking at it going, wait a minute, not a single other list I've looked at has mentioned this spider. And the guy who wrote its reasoning behind it was, these spiders are nearly unkillable. And I think that's where his whole, it was like, all right, yeah, I know that they say they can be mean, they can put a heck of a hurting on you, but you could seriously keep these things on glass and they would probably thrive. I'm talking about Trinochilus murinus, or the infamous orange bitey thing, or OBT. I hate that orange bitey thing. Mine are fine. The OBT, I adore P. murinus. There are now a bunch of different color forms out. They're all beautiful. And they are one of the easiest spiders on the planet to grow up. I think I've raised 8 so far. I think there's 6 of the orange form. Granted, 4 of those were supposed to be the no color form, the NCFs. And I think I got ripped off with it because the guy sent them. I got a funny feeling what happened is he took pictures of the male and female and just dulled them out on Photoshop, made them look brown because these guys are fiery orange as can be. So I got to look up that information and find out who that was. But who cares? I love these. I had my old girl that was one of the coolest spiders I ever had. Not only was she beautiful and orange, she was very laid back. Now, obviously, they're not all laid back, and they do have a reputation for being a bit spicy, shall we say. I do think a lot of that comes from people who were not keeping them correctly, who were not giving them space. I've always said for OBTs, you want to give them their space. You want to give them some room to burrow if they want. You want to give them some room on the top of their enclosure to web. So we're not going to use the term semi-arboreal because people have fits over it. But what we are going to say is you're going to give them an extra deep terrestrial enclosure. How's that for people that freak out over it? I really don't care, but we're going to give them extra space. Meaning, so for example, if we have something that's 12 inches tall. A lot of people use 12 inch tall enclosures for arboreals, and that's great. It gives them a little more height. Let's call it as it is. An arboreal is living up in a tree, is living a heck of a lot higher up than 12 inches. So giving them 12 inches is not too much. Fill about half of that with substrate or so, give them room to dig, and give them room up top to burrow anchor points. And normally what they will do is when you pick up the enclosures, they will go hide in their webbing or hide in their burrows. But keep focused here with the topic at hand. They're super easy to raise up. They really are. Again, not a species that needs moisture, even as slings. I will keep like the ones I mentioned before. I keep a corner moist. I do the dribbling water thing. I'm not going to go through all that again. You guys get it now. And once again, at night, dribble some water on and feed them. And they grow. They grow. They start off as fairly small slings, not teeny tiny slings. I found, once again, the growth rate on these guys seems to differ. This seems to be one of the species that if you keep it in that 80 degree mark, 85, like I know some folks, they have 80 degrees or above all year round, you're going to get much faster growth rate than somebody like me who maybe keeps them around the 80 degree mark in the summer, but they're cooler in the winter. So my first one grew a little more slowly. The ones I have here now are growing medium pace overall. I think they're all about 3 or 4 inches now. It's been about 2 years or 2.5 years, but super easy to keep. Again, water dishes, dribble some water on the webbing, moist corner when they're slings. You can discontinue that as a juvenile. I do want to make it very clear, though, and this goes for just about every tarantula, and this is to go back to my water dish thing. This is one of the species I've seen drink numerous times, and as a matter of fact, I have one the other day that molted. I fed it once, and unfortunately, I did not. Its water dish, the moisture got wicked out of it by the webbing. And I went to check on it, and it was not looking great. It was looking like it was starting to basically succumb to dehydration. And I immediately poured some water in the bowl. That thing rushed over to that bowl and drank the entire time. So bad on me. I don't know what, I do know what happened. It's been hot up in here, and I should have cleared out the webbing. So something to be careful of. And a little tip, when you fill your spider's water dish, when your spider has a decent-sized water dish, and you fill it up, and the water dish is completely empty an hour later, the spider did not drink all that water. It got wicked out by either your substrate or your webbing. So heads up, because I've had people say, I don't get it. I filled it up. It drank the whole time. It drank all the water, and it was still dehydrated. Nope, that's not the case. It sucked the water out. But anyway, I digress. With the P. murinus, super easy to raise up, easy to keep. I mean, the thing that gives these guys the expert label or expert designation as an advanced species, it's because this is one of those spiders that when they are threatened and become defensive, they act out aggressively. So they're ones that will throw up the threat posture. Go on YouTube, you'll find a bunch of clowns agitating theirs for, you know, views or whatever, and they don't need to be like that. If kept appropriately, you're not going to have many interactions with them at all. So definitely, P. murinus, one of the easiest spiders to raise up. I've never lost one. I've spoken to many other people. I mean, obviously, here or there, just like we mentioned earlier, every once in a while, you're going to have a situation where a spider dies. You're not sure what happened. But overall, with considering the number of these that are out there, there aren't many mysterious deaths. They're fairly, I would say, very easy to raise up from slings, hence being on this list. Now, the next spider on this list I picked up as a sexed female, like a 3.5-inch, 4-inch sexed female from Tom Patterson many years ago, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, maybe. And she grew up to be one of my favorite spiders, this big, beautiful fluff ball. And unfortunately, I had a lot of folks asking me for care guides on them. And I'm like, I can't do a care guide on them because I haven't raised them up. I will not do care guides on spiders that I got as adults because I didn't earn that. I'm going to have to look up what everybody else does. That's not my information. So what I did is I got 5 slings a couple years ago, and I've been raising those up, and now I can report on the husbandry, and now I can report that these guys are tough little boogers. I'm talking about the Nandu trapepii, or the Brazilian blonde. I obviously got my big female. She's doing great, but I also got some slings I'm raising up. They're now about 3.5 inches or so. These guys, just really, really hardy spiders. I kept them as slings, like you do most slings, a little moist substrate. They didn't seem to care about the moisture. As they put on some size, I put them in enclosures where I kept part of the substrate moist, kept part of it dry. They didn't care either way. Gave them water dishes. Every once in a while, I'd catch one drinking, but they eat great. They grow rather quickly. Now, mine, I purposely, because I got 5, I actually originally ordered 3. I ended up with 5, which is great. But the thing is, all of them are thriving. And so I haven't been feeding them as aggressively as I have some of my other slings in the past. I knew that when I got them, I'm like, I have 5 of these, and I don't know if I have room for 5 adults right now. So I was in no rush to grow them up. So people have reported theirs grew up much more quickly. I know some young lady contacted me and said she picked one up, and within a year, it was 4 inches. So they grow very quickly. They don't, again, I give them moist substrate, and I would definitely give moist substrate as a sling. This is one of the ones I give dry. But as they get older, you can move away from it. Water dish, moist corner, they're perfectly fine. Eat like machines. Molt with great regularity. Put on decent size with each molt. Can easily hit 3-4 inches in a year. Just amazing spiders. And again, this is one of the ones that because I have 5 of them now and all 5 of them are doing well, usually when you get 5 slings, somebody's a runt, for lack of a better term. Somebody's just not thriving as well as the other ones. Nope, they're all pretty much like clockwork molting right around the same time, doing great. And that's one that I will definitely, when, you know, time goes on and people ask me, all right, I'm moving into slings. I've kept some species of tarantulas. I have some experience. What would be a good one to start off with? These guys would definitely be on the list. The other thing is, I believe the mothers can have up to 1,000 or 2,000 slings. So with sex that large, that many slings, obviously these guys are very easy to come by. They're inexpensive. They're gorgeous as adults. Now, the only thing I would mention is that although I wouldn't consider these guys teeny tiny slings, they do start off as very small slings. However, mine grew out of that small sling stage within like 2 months. So I think they were probably maybe just shy of 0.5 inch. So they were small, but within, I would say, 3-4 months max, they were like 3/4 of an inch or so. They put on massive, they molted frequently when they were small, and they put on a decent amount of size. So it's not one that's going to stay small for long. Definitely one, Nandu Trapepiai, for people looking to get into slings for the first time and want to keep something up, get some practice with it. I would definitely encourage them checking these out. Easy as heck to keep, good growth rate, eat great, and they're beautiful as adults. And the cool thing is, since showing off my FEMA, that a lot of people comment on YouTube or on podcasts, say, yeah, after seeing that, I picked them up, and I absolutely love mine. And I've had several people that picked them up as their first slings and did great with them. So Nandu Trapepiai definitely belongs on this list. Very easy to care for, awesome spider. Next one on this list is a hobby staple and one that I've grown up, I believe, three from slings. I got one as a sexed female. She was around, I want to say 3 inches or so. But the three slings I kept, it was one of the first slings I ever purchased, ever raised up. And they, again, are so common, so cheap, and so resistant to bad husbandry. It's insane. I'm talking about the Lazy Adora Parahibana, the Salmon Bird Eater. These guys are, I think, one of the most popular slings to start with, if I were to venture a guess. I know I started with them because I thought I was going to get a super big spider very quickly, and that depends. That's one thing I will say about these guys, that there seems to be two types of Lazy Adora Parahibana. The ones like that I raised up that grew a little more on the medium side, they were a little slower to get to that adult size. And then there are other folks that say that, you know, within a year they have 3.5-4-inch spiders. So I think it's another one, kind of like the aforementioned OBT, that it may depend on your temperatures. If you have warmer temperatures all year long, you may get faster growth rates. If you are like most of us and have, you know, room temperatures during the wintertime or whatnot, you might get slower growth rate, but it doesn't matter. They start off as fairly decent sized slings overall. They eat great. They grow faster than some of the others. This is a tough one because I think it's one that really depends on the situation. But even my slower growing ones, I could see them growing. They were molting with regularity, like everything, like almost like the GBB. My first LP was molting like every 4 months or so, and it would put on a decent amount of size. So I could definitely see it growing. And they are just very, very hardy spiders. I've heard people that kept them, I wouldn't encourage this at all, but I've heard of people keeping them dry as slings and just spring doing the old nesting thing. I kept mine moist as slings, as juveniles. Once again, moist corner, water dish, adults. What I usually do for my two adults is I moisten down part of the substrate, then I never see them around it. One of them actually had, my big female has a plant in it, did have a plant, and I just looked over. It's completely gone now, but I would keep that side watered. She'd never be over there for the most part until she decided to kill and murder the plant. And the other one, same thing. I moisten one corner. It's never over there. I do give them water dishes. I have seen them drink, and they're just really, really hardy spiders. And that can be evidenced by a lot of folks that are new to the hobby keep them and do fine with them. So I think the LP, it's obviously a hobby staple because it's one of the, we've spoken about this many times, when folks get in the hobby, they want the biggest spider out there. They see the moisture requirements for Theraphosa. They go, I don't think I'm ready for that yet. And then they hear about this supposed spider that's easy as heck to keep and gets to be almost the same size, so they get the LPs. And I think a lot of them I mentioned in my one about spiders I thought were overrated for a while. For me, when I first got it, so many spiders ran laps around it growth-wise that it was like, this isn't as cool as I thought it was going to be. Now I love them. I absolutely love them, and I do recommend them for folks. You know, when people come up, I'm keeping a sling, I got an LP, I'm like, good choice. Excellent one to raise up. I think they are very resistant and resilient when it comes to new keepers who are going to do things like maybe over moisten the substrate or maybe accidentally let things dry out. And I think this is one of those species that would survive those ups and downs. So LP, Lazy Adora Parahibana, Salmon Bird Eater, definitely deserves a spot in this list as being one of the easiest slings to grow up and keep alive. So the next species on this list is one that I originally had my eye on, and I tried to get it as a freebie. There was a company around a while ago, Pet Center USA, that would do freebies. You get one for like $100, one for like $200. I remember this was the cheapo freebie. These spiders were super cheap as it was, but I thought, oh, this would be a cool one to get. So I ended up with one order I went way above the $200 limit, but in the notes I said, could I please get this species instead? And unfortunately, they sent me the $200 spider, not the one I wanted. So I did it again and made sure I ordered under a certain amount. Got this spider. I don't know why I didn't just buy it, but I just wanted it as a freebie to try it out. And it made me fall in love with the whole genus. I'm talking about Salmopeus cambridgii. absolutely love the Cambridgeshire. I have a big, huge female who's pushing, I think, right around 10 years old, maybe 11, that is just an awesome spider. She's got green on her. I love green spiders. And she was one of the easiest spiders I ever raised up. And since then, a buddy of mine sent me four slings that are now, two of them are mature. One of them's matured out and actually passed away. One of them's matured out. I'm trying to decide whether or not I'm going to pair them with my female. And then I have two others that I believe one of them is a female. The other one I don't see all that often, but I'm guessing female. So I've raised up five again, very, just like every other spider on this list. Slings, yes. Did you give them moisture? Absolutely, give them moisture. But I noticed if things dry out a little bit, they're fine. As juveniles, you can give them a moist corner, give them a water dish. You can do the webbing trip if you want. If they've got some webbing in there, I've gone in, I put moss in there. I've seen them drink from the moss. I've seen them drink from the water dishes. But bottom line is they're not hugely moisture dependent. And they start up slings are pretty decent size, and the growth rate is ridiculous. My first female, I believe, hit 4.5 inches the first year I had her, which is astounding growth. One of the fastest growing tarantulas I ever kept. And this, is again, was back when I was, I think I acquired her like in the spring. So she got first years of her life as slinghood for me. It was warmer temps. I was feeding her a lot. Like I loved watching this thing hunt, and it was growing super fast. And before I knew it, I had to rehouse her within a year because she was into an adult enclosure because she was so large. And the same thing with the other ones. They've been growing like weeds. They eat like machines. Great hunters. They molt with frequency. They actually put on a good deal of size with each molt. And like I said, if they're one of those species that can tolerate a range of conditions, everyone on this list is one that can tolerate, for the most part, a range of conditions. Like, you don't need to keep them super moist. They can dry out a little bit. Just make sure that water dish is in there, or you're moistening the webbing at night. But great spiders to grow up. Now, this is one of those species that sometimes make it to intermediate lists because of the fact that, A, they get pretty large. My female is probably about 7 inches or so. She's a big girl. And B, the Salmopeus have a reputation for being a little more high-strung than normal New World species. There's also rumors out there because of the fact they lack urticating hairs, that their bites are a little nastier than your normal or average New World species. So that's why they don't make it to many beginner lists. But as far as a beginner sling list, absolutely with these guys. Very easy to keep. You buy a sling, you feed it, you make sure it's got a little moisture in there. Within a year, you're going to have something that looks like almost an adult spider, and that's pretty awesome. So P. cambridgeshire, I will also throw in there P. ermenia, the Venezuelan sun tiger, one of the cooler names out there. I've raised up four of those as well, and you can add those to the list. Very, very easy to care for. I do keep mine just a little bit moister. The other ones with more moisture than the other ones, only because I've noticed they seem to like a little bit of moisture. But again, very easy to raise up. Either of those would be good ones to start off with slings, because they're going to grow quickly and you're going to have a big spider before you know it. Now, coming up next on the list is another hobby staple, one that I've absolutely, I adore now. And I won't say I slept on it so much. I had one years ago, but it was sold under a different name. And then I finally, a hobby buddy of mine gave me a female that I absolutely adore. And right before that, I had picked up a little sling that I've been growing up. And I've just absolutely loved raising these guys up. This is one that I've only raised up two slings. I have the female, but again, I've heard so much about them, and so many people that have been new to the hobby have picked them up and been successful with them. I'm talking about Acantha scuria geniculata, or the Brazilian white knee, I think it is. These guys are awesome. And talk about true hobby staple, one of the top hobby staple tarantulas out there. And why are they so popular, and why do they make it to beginner's list, even though they're a species that gets kind of big and can have a really good feeding response? Well, because of the fact they're so darn easy to raise up. Like every other one on this list, you throw it in a little moist substrate as a sling, you feed it, it's going to molt frequently, and it's going to put on a decent amount of size. I've heard of specimens going to 3.5-4 inches in a year or so. Mine's growing a little more slowly than that, but right now it's got its adult colors. It's stretching about 3 inches or so, and it's just an awesome spider, and I've been amazed with the growth rate. I got it was a small sling. I was like, I was kind of hoping to get I think the place I ordered from, they had larger ones and smaller ones, and I was cheap and bought the smaller ones, and I got it in. I'm like, oh, this really is small. It didn't stay small for long. It ate, like, even as slings, they're eating machines. And I think that's where I discussed with other keepers who have kept more of them, and we think that's where the reputation they have for being a little more defensive or aggressive came. I don't think they're aggressive or defensive at all for the most part. I think they just have very aggressive feeding responses. Mine, if you drop a cricket in or something, it senses it. It'll bolt right across the enclosure to get it. The little sling, I dropped in a big cricket with it yesterday. It flipped over, was on its back holding on him. Awesome spider. Great to watch hunt. Molt frequently. Put on a good deal of size. Grow quickly. A lot of folks, I always, when I first started doing research on the species, I had read that it was moisture dependent. What I'm finding is like a lot of the big tropical ones, they do well on dry substrate in a water dish once they put on some size. So if you get a juvenile and you got in there, I personally, again, keep a corner dry for the adult because I have a plant in there, so I keep that corner moist. It's never around that area. I have seen it go and hover around the water dish before, so it does seem to like some moisture, so make sure you have a water dish in there. My little one, she's got a water dish. She flips it over all the time. I fill it back up. Haven't seen her drink yet, but easy as pie to raise these guys up. And again, I think that's part of their enduring popularity is A, they look amazing. The red bottoms, the striping, just gorgeous spiders, but B, they're easy to keep. And there's nothing better than a spider that's going to make you feel confident when you're getting into raising slings because you know it's going to eat, it's going to grow, and before you know it, you won't have that fragile sling. So can't do a list like this without having Acanthus scuria, geniculata, the hobby staple. A lot of folks, if you ask them what their favorite tarantula species is, you're going to get Acanthus scuria geniculata, and it's easy to understand why. And earlier I was talking about when folks are looking for their first slings, which species I recommend. And again, even if they don't have a lot of experience, I have gone to recently recommending Acanthus scuria geniculata as an awesome beginner sling. So they've got that going for them as well, because it's one of the few ones on this list that are considered to be a beginner species by a lot of people. And they grow fast and they're easy to keep. Perfect combination. So get the scuria geniculata. Can't go wrong. There's a reason it's a hobby staple. It's because the spider's amazing and very easy to keep. Now, the last species on this list, quite frankly, this could apply to the entire genus as far as I'm concerned with my experience. I've kept several of the quote-unquote species they have out there. I think I've kept 13 of the different species. Maybe I don't know what I'm up to anymore, but a lot of them. And they are just, again, I'm going to use the term bulletproof when it comes to husbandry. These are some of the most sturdy and hardy spiders you can possibly keep. Now, unfortunately, they do have a reputation for being rather ornery. I have received a handful of threat postures from mine, but I will say it's always because I drop food on them and I startle them out of that standby mode that spiders go in where they're just sitting there and they don't seem to be really awake. But I've never had them throw their fangs out. They're impressive threat postures, I'll say that. I have a lot of them will flip over and land on their backs, which is just goofy. I'm talking about one of my favorite spiders ever, one of my favorite species ever, one of two favorite genera of tarantulas I have, Formictopus, and we'll go with Formictopus cancerides, the Haitian brown. These guys are, I have raised up, and just to give you an idea, I think all the Formictopus species, I've raised up, I want to say 25 slings. Knock on wood, never lost a single sling, never even came close. They are just ridiculously hardy spiders. They eat great. Most of them, now I say most, we're going to stick with Cancerides on this one, although species green, Dominican violet, the green femurs, all of those did just as well. I will say Aratus is the one that I was a little more shy, grew a little less quickly, but still very, you know, sturdy animal, so to speak. But we'll stick with Cancerides. I picked up my first two slings about 10 years ago, maybe, and was immediately enamored with A, their hunting prowess, how they'd go out there and just tackle large prey and subdue it and roll and just amazing to watch hunt, and by how much size they were putting on during molt. So they would not only eat a lot, they put on a decent amount of size, and then there's this one molt where it's right around the 3-inch, like when the slings are 2.5 inches, they're still showing that blue sling coloration, and next thing you know, they molt, and they almost look like a 4-inch hairy spider. It's amazing. I've had many people come back and say, you were right, I just had mine just molted, it just went through that one molt, and holy Jesus, this thing put on size. It's fantastic. So they are ones that when I first got mine, I did keep them on moist substrate. I do keep all of my Formictopus slings on partially moist substrate, but it can dry out a bit as long as they have a water dish and you're making sure you're keeping to rehydrate them. They should be fine. As juveniles and adults, you can keep them bone dry with a water dish. I know they love to fill up their water dishes, but I would say every week or every 2 weeks when you clean them, make sure you dump out the water dish and fill it back up, because I have seen a couple of them drink, not most of them. They seem to be fine with drier conditions. And they're big, hardy spiders. You can't get much better. I think the biggest Cancerides I have right now is right around the 8-inch mark. I have my purple that is around, I think, I want to say 8.25 to 8.5 inch. I forget the exact measurement, but they're big, big spiders. And it doesn't take them long to get there. The cool thing about the Formictopus canceritus is I found they grow super fast until they get to be about 5 inches. And at that point, the growth rate slows down considerably. At that point, what will happen is, and what happened with mine is because I was so used to pumping the food to them, they hit that mark. They ate like pigs for a couple weeks, and then they fasted and basically went into pre-molt for a long extended period of time. And sometimes they'll go into that pre-molt period and you'll offer them some food and they'll go ahead and eat some food and then go back into pre-molt. It's weird, but definitely the slings are fairly good size when they start off. They put on, you can easily get a spider. We'll go conservative up to 3 inches in a year. Eat great, easy to keep, fast growing, and the adults are amazing. So again, this applies to just about every Formictopus species that is out there. They are just, and there's a reason why I fell in love with this genus of spiders, and one of it was because of the fact that they were so hardy, they gave me confidence. So they were one of the few animals or slings that I kept that I wasn't worried about. And I think I've shared before when folks talk about worrying about their animals, I still worry about my animals. Every time something molts, I can't help it. And this is one of the ones that's like, it's a Formictopus, we're fine. So Formictopus species, easily one of the most hardy. Now the problem is why we don't recommend this to beginners is because not only do they grow quickly, they can. A lot of folks report that their specimens do have attitude. Again, I don't see it so much with mine, but I have seen other folks that have kept them the exact same way I do. They get a little more attitude, and that can be rather frightening for somebody who's not used to keeping bigger tarantulas. And those threat postures, again, I find them goofy because the fangs are not bared in most cases. I don't think I've ever seen mine bare fangs, and a lot of times they end up on their backs, which I find funny because, like, who are you really scaring off? You're laying on your back. But to somebody who's not used to seeing that, that could be rather jarring. So Formictopus canceritus, easily one of the easiest types of slings you can raise up. I've had zero issues with them. Again, all of them from slings to young adults with no issues. So if you're looking for a spider or open to a spider that is large, can have a little bit of attitude, definitely check these out. So that's pretty much it, what I have for my list of the main. And again, I walked around the room and took all of these factors, the size of the slings, the growth rate, how quickly they grow, their husbandry, and these are the ones I came out with. The one genus that I almost put on here and I'm going to mention is kind of an honorable mention because I know some folks seem to have trouble with them. I personally have found that the slings were very easy to grow up. Pisolatheria. I've kept several species, 12 different species of Pisolatheria. I've grown them all up from slings. I've grown many, I should have counted out, maybe 25, 30 up from slings. No problems whatsoever. The slings normally eat great. The one exception to this rule would be everybody's favorite, the P. metallica. I did have my first P. metallica. I was rather shy, would eat sometimes, would always have to eat smaller items than my other pokies would eat. Would eat sometimes, would not eat others, and then would eat again. I've spoken to many other people that have experienced this as well. The ones I kept in the communal all ate fairly well. It was kind of neat. They seemed to be a lot more bold as far as hunting and eating was concerned. But the other species of Pisolatheria I've kept for the most part have all, as slings, you keep the bottom substrate moist, let it dry up a little bit at the top. They do a little bit of burrowing. Give them a water dish, which you're probably going to web up or fill with dirt, but keep it up. You can mist at night or dribble water on the webbing. They can come drink from that. As they get a little bit older, again, I like to keep part of the substrate moist at all time with them, including my adults. But I've spoken to other folks that let them dry out a bit. They do come from areas that, the majority of them come from areas that do have periods of drought or dry weather. So they do well in those conditions. But I found that they grow quickly. They eat great. They grow quickly. I've had some, like my P. regalis, hit 5 inches in the first year. I've had other species that have hit 4 inches, no problem. So they do check off a lot of the markers that we have as far as what makes an easy sling to grow up. The only reason I didn't include it in the main list is I have spoken to some folks that seem to struggle a little bit with them. Maybe that's because they're going too moist. I don't know. And I also think that although folks have had a successful time keeping them on the drier side, that is a species I like to kind of keep moist. So I kind of took them off the list, but I've had no issues with any of mine. I've spoken to other folks that, honestly, the majority of folks that keep them have no trouble with them whatsoever. They're actually surprised at, like, hey, I picked up as a sling and I'm actually freaking out because it's already 5 inches and now I have to deal with basically an adult. But Pisolatheria species I found to be fairly hardy overall, just across the board. Great spiders. Again, slings aren't particularly small. They are great hunters. They eat great. They grow quickly, and they're very hardy. So again, that would make good, personally, I find them to be rather easy slings to raise up. Are there other ones on the list? I almost put Harpectriera on this, Harpectra, but I have heard folks have struggled a bit with some of those, so I didn't put those on the list. I'm sure some people will chime in. Ceratogyrus is another one that I thought of putting on there. I would have to go with Darlingulan because I've raised, I believe, 4 of them now. And those were very easy to keep. So that could be a possibility for this one. And the only reason I took it off is I have had people contact me and go, I had a C. darlingi. It was doing fine and now it's dead. So that would be one for me. I found them very easy to grow up. I've only had one Marshalli, but I've heard those are very easy. There are obviously other ones out there. So this is my point of view. This is my perspective on it. This is from my experiences, and that's all I can and will report on. But I'd love to hear from the rest of you guys. What are some of the other species that you've raised up that you found to be really easy? And one thing I want you to take into account when you do this is I have things that I've raised here that I found to be very easy that I know that other people struggled with, so I didn't put them on the list. So let's not try to be like, well, I know this. Say Theraphosa, for example. Great one to start off with. Knock on wood, I've had no issues with my Theraphosa species. I lost one Apophysis years ago, but it was because it was on bad substrate. It had nothing to do with the care of the spider being, you know, not hardy or anything. I don't have an issue with that, but I obviously am aware a lot of people do. So let's pick the ones. Use this criteria. What are the ones that are out there that you guys find that aren't particularly tiny when they start off, grow quickly, put on a good amount of size, and are super hardy? What are the ones you have? Because I think this would be good information. What I will probably do is revisit this and maybe the beginning of the next podcast. And if a lot of people chime in, we'll talk about what other keepers experience. I think that's very important. That's every bit as important as anything I come up with. And then this is something that I honestly, as I'm going through it, I'm thinking this would make a wonderful video because I have a lot of people that ask me, what are the best slings to start with? And we can kind of break it down to these are the beginner slings to start with. These are some of the ones that are considered to be more advanced because of their temperaments or because they're old world. So please chime in. I would love to hear from you. Maybe we'll do a keeper selection one as well when I put this one together as a video, but it would be great to hear from you all. So that will do it for this one. And then I thank folks in advance that chime in with their experience. As always, you can find me on YouTube. I've been trying to this summer. It's been the summer of kind of putting out more fun videos. And I had a couple people like, man, you're not flipping the switch here and changing to do all the fun stuff all the time. No. I will always do the husbandry videos. Those are my bread and butter. However, it is not, when you do the fun ones, it brings more people out of the woodwork. You get more of a community. I had people commenting on these that I didn't think watch my videos anymore. I haven't heard from them for years. But you put something out, they're like, oh, I have something to add to that. And B, it's nice to get more folks' eyes over onto the channel. Quite frankly, I am proud of what I'm doing over there. I think I'm doing things for the right reason. I only doing stuff for the animals to show tarantulas as the amazing animals they are and to show folks how to care for them. I'm not in this to make money. I'm not in this to be a superstar. So every once in a while, it doesn't hurt to put something out that's fun that attracts some more eyes on the channel. And it's been working. It's been great. We did the old world species list, which did fantastic. It's doing fantastically, and I'm getting a lot of good feedback from folks. It was great because we did the live premiere of it. And as people were saying, well, this is something I find, it was all in the video. So I feel like I nailed that one, which is great because that's going to be one that is hopefully a resource for folks for years to come. And then I just did the top 15 favorites. So if folks want to see pictures of the ones that I talked about, I think I did it in May, where I did my top 15 favorites. That one's up. I did make changes to it. As always, with those beginner species lists, I can't just pick 15. I can't. My first list, I think, was 55 different spiders. That I was like, how do I break this down? But I picked some good ones there. The fun thing is the show I was talking about with Billy with this and why, you know, I know what makes a successful YouTube channel. I know what people want to see. And they love those lists and they love the fun ones. And it's evidenced by the fact that this one is actually doing better than the old world video as far as the amount of people that are watching it. And it's just like, it's a fun video. I think there's some good info in there, especially for people looking for new spiders. But I consider that one to be a throwaway video compared to something that I think could really help a lot of people. It's useful. It's got information in it. It's something I think people that are getting into the hobby need to hear. And unfortunately, it's just not as much fun. So it's doing well, don't get me wrong, but it was funny. I showed Billy, I go, this right here is a nutshell. The secret to getting a lot of views isn't really a secret. It's very easy. Just do a lot of these. So I have been strategically doing more fun videos, but trying to put my Tom Moran spin on them and make them be ones that people can get information from. So even if you're watching a fun video with, these are my 15 favorites, I'm going to put information in there that hopefully helps people out. So that'll be, we're going to be doing some rehousing soon. And we've done some rehousing. We're going to be doing some more rehousing videos soon and getting those up. But again, having some fun this summer while I have the time to do it, because some of these videos take forever to edit and I just don't have that time with feeding the spiders, caring for the spiders, work, family, all that to do it during the school year. So that'll do it for this one. As always, you can find me there. You can find me on Tom's Big Spiders podcast. Thanks for everybody that chimes in. I got to go approve a bunch of comments. I apologize. It takes me a couple days because I tend to forget the bounce over there. I wish it was an auto way to approve because I've received zero junk, I think, over there, or zero spam. But I'll activate those. Hopefully some of you chime in on what you think your easiest slings were to raise. Guys, I'm done talking. I'm going to go have a drink. We're going to go walk my dogs in 90-degree heat and sweat my butt off. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll catch you all next time.